Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm honored to have Willow Hamilton and Wyatt Bunce here. Hey, you two.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
We just spent actually a little more than an hour talking about your feature film, Killer Whales, which I am an official fanboy of. I love it. It was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and pulled in Best Feature Film Comedy in 2021. And it also won Wyatt Best Actor in a Lead Role at Film Invasion Los Angeles in June of 2022. So it's a multiple award-winning film. I'm sure you won awards at other festivals, but you know, if I'm not there, I'm not gonna mention it.
Yes.
But this chat, and by the way, the film just came out, so everyone should jump on whatever VOD platform, some way, pay for it. It's an indie film. I guess I didn't stress this in the last podcast, but right, people put their heart and soul into an indie film. It hits the festival circuit, then it gets released. And I know there's like a jillion free things to watch on streaming. But why not reward the people who pour their heart and soul into something with little sight of reward at the end of that tunnel? So go on, whether it's Amazon Prime Video or Apple TV, whatever, type in Killer Whales or say the word Killer Whales into your fancy Siri remote and pay a couple bucks and watch a really, really well-made, really funny film. So that's my pitch. And the rest of this podcast is just going to be Willow and Wyatt answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are favorite films of all time, limit 3, but there's no real rule, a film that is underrated, a film that is overrated, and a lesser known film that people should seek out. And this is really just an excuse to have a fun conversation about cinema. So I did not check with you two earlier. Who wants to go first?
Willow,
just
okay?
Do like question one, just favorites.
I can go first. I got some answers. Okay, so first off is like top movies. So I think this is the most difficult question of all of them. How do you really like pick favorite movies ever? But I will say ones that really stuck with me, I think Festen, The Celebration.
Yes.
Wyatt, I know, loves this one too.
Yeah.
This is a movie by Thomas Vinterberg. I think it might have even been his first. I'm not totally sure about that. About a very like wealthy Dutch family that gathers at a mansion for their annual celebration together. And it's all very like surface appearances and obviously a lot of tensions run beneath. And a dark secret is revealed at dinner. And I think for me, that film, this was a movie showed to me by my brother. That film is such a good example of filmmakers just not caring about a super high production or like the movie being slick or anything. They're just interested in creating amazing drama and great performances and running around with a low res digital camera and capturing a really compelling story. So I think Festen was a big one. I'm a big anime fan. I love so many animes, but I think if I have to pick one for a movie, it would be Ghost in the Shell. The original 1995. Ghost in the Shell, I mean, talk about creating an atmosphere. That movie, just right from the first frame, the first hit on this huge drum in the soundtrack just makes you feel like you're in this totally...
Who's the director? Sorry to interrupt.
That was Oshii Mamoru.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just able to conjure up this totally alien dystopic future that is still kind of unlike anything else that's been put on camera. And of course, it's like directly influences The Matrix. And and everything else that spawned off from that.
Everything. It's completely unique and yet launched a million ships.
Yeah. Yeah. So many. And it's still unrivaled in its blend of cyberpunk and philosophy and atmosphere and all that stuff. So Ghost in the Shell is wicked. The last one I would put on that, I don't know. I think Alien.
The very first one, Ridley.
Yeah. The original Ridley Scott one. It's just kind of a perfect movie. You know, like excellent, simple B-movie scripts with very simple performances that do the job. Incredible monster design and filming of a monster. Like, there's only really one scene where you actually see the man in the rubber suit, and it's a good thing that you only see it like for a second. But yeah, I mean, it's just such beautiful suspense and mystery too. Like, it really makes you feel the mystery of space and alien civilizations in a way that none of the sequels did. So.
No, and it doesn't take a genius to make the observation that as a director, you chose three auteur films, basically, where I think the director really did, just make sure that every possible detail that could be cared for was. I mean,
yeah.
Alien is just a technically remarkably beautiful work. But yes. I want to mention The Celebration, by the way. Yeah, you're calling it by its original, or its Danish title. But I find not enough people have seen it. You know, I think right, because it's in the from the Dogma School or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that? But I think everyone makes a big deal about the Lars von Trier movies, and they're great. But I think Celebration was it's the one that made my brain explode.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
I think it's like it's very unpretentious movie. And like Lars von Trier can sometimes like be really tooting his own horn, but yeah, it just gets out of the way for the performances and this sort of unraveling of this family, and it's just a cynical joy to behold.
Yeah, yeah, and it does represent a pinnacle of what indie film can be, because obviously it's from that school of thought where you're just going to grab a camera, not even have a tripod, not have a Steadicam, you're just going to shoot and let the performances carry the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Wonderful film. All right, Wyatt, your turn. You want to share your faves?
Yeah. So kind of going back, I guess, to the British comedy theme. I'll start with Best in Show, which is not a British comedy, but Best in Show is, I just could watch it a million times and love it every single time, perhaps more every time I watch it. I particularly love Parker Posey in that and Michael Hitchcock. Those two characters are so formative. I mean, my sister's used to watch that that improvised scene about how they met. They used to watch that over and over, and it just killed me. And I also think they're very underrated, Parker Posey and Michael Hitchcock. I think they should be the biggest stars in the world. they're pretty big, but I think they should be bigger. Anyway, so Best in Show is up there as a comedy. I would say I really love Ingmar Bergman. And so I have to say Wild Strawberries, his movie Wild Strawberries, just incredible. And then I'm going to have to use a movie twice because it's going to come back for my other answers, but this British comedy called With Nail and I. Are you familiar with With Nail and I?
I will proudly say that I saw it in theaters when it was first released.
No way.
Owned it on VHS.
Wow. Yeah. Withnail and I, Richard E. Grant's character, just Withnail. I mean, I take a lot of inspiration from that character constantly. Best in Show, Wild Strawberries, Withnail and I would be my top three.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful top three. Yeah. Obviously I could spiel on about Withnail and I forever. Although I have wondered how it's, you know, sometimes you're afraid to see something that you loved with a passion 20 years ago, but I bet now you're giving me faith it'll hold up for me.
Oh, it holds up.
At the very least, Richard Grant's performance is just it's amazing.
It is. I will never forget him saying as he drove completely drunk, and when I wakes up, because of course we never hear his name, and he goes, I'm making time. All right, well.
Oh, you just broke up there, Jeff. I couldn't hear that.
Sorry? Oh, did I break up?
I sadly couldn't hear what you said because you broke up. But
fair enough. I'll repeat it to the deficit of those listening. Hopefully my internet isn't totally screwing up. I just made a reference to when Richard E. Grant was, when Withnail was driving and I wakes up and says, what are you driving? You can't drive. And he says, I'm making time.
Ah, yeah.
I will remember that for the rest of my life. And of course, I saw it with my two best friends of all time, drag them to see this film. But anyway, I'll stop talking about my experience with Withnail and I. And since Willow went first on favorites, Wyatt, you want to go first on a film that's underrated?
Yes. My answer was Withnail and I for that I had loaded up. And I couldn't keep it out of my top three. I just don't think enough people have seen that movie. It doesn't make sense to me. I think it should be another one that should be bigger. But just real quick, see if I can think of another since I just said that. But
I'm going to throw a trivia question at you. Did you see Bruce Robinson's follow-up to that, How to Get Ahead in Advertising with Richard E. Grant?
No.
Yes. That's a weird movie. That's a weird movie.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to say a movie that I don't think enough people have seen, which is called The Ruling Class, another British comedy with Peter O'Toole, where he thinks he's Jesus. and I just love that. Taking inspiration from that one, too.
For sure. I have a feeling my life would be better if I just took a month off of all forms of work and watched everything Peter O'Toole and or Dudley Moore did when they were still in England, because...
Oh, God, yeah.
In high school, I saw Hounds of the Baskervilles that they did.
Yes.
And I don't think I've ever laughed to tears as much as during that film.
That is so good.
Madness. Okay, Willow, what's your underrated film?
Underrated? I think Barbarian Sound Studio by Peter Strickland. Have you seen that one, Jeff? Oof. This is a nicely directed movie. Is nice. It's about this very small little English sound editor who gets called in to work on this Italian horror movie. And he walks into the studio in the first scene. He goes into the screening room to watch the cut. And the whole conceit of the movie is that you never see the horror film that he's working on. You just hear the foley, the gore foley that he has to make by like smashing watermelons and stuff. So he like goes into the movie theater and there are these foley artists hacking into a watermelon, like, and you just see his face and he's like, I didn't realize I'd be working on this sort of movie. And it's like a very uncanny, creepy, yet very funny tone and balancing act. Because the film is only as scary as you let your imagination create it. So it's a really smart an amazingly sound designed movie.
Very cool. And I have to say, I appreciate the referral because I haven't seen it. And Lord knows, you proved with Killer Whales that you can make a good film about filmmaking.
Yeah, this one's great. Particularly, it's like definitely about the sound aspect of film, which could be the most boring thing in the world, you know, but somehow it becomes very creepy and haunted.
Well, and sound is the most important. Well, not the most important, but sound is so important to film. It's not even funny. Watch a horror movie muted and
yeah,
you've completely wasted your time. But watch any, you know. So anyway, I'll get off that horse. Excellent. All right, now let's have some fun with the term overrated. Yeah. If Willow wants to go first. And I will add that, you know, sometimes I give the disclaimer because you seem like very nice people and you might not want to insult the work of others. You can love the film that's overrated. You're not saying it's a bad film. You're just saying that the accolades or the awards, not in kind with the work or that particular one.
Totally. I'm not a Christopher Nolan fan. And I think that Interstellar is the most overrated, overblown, big thinker movie. That has been made. And I feel it's a very pretentious movie that attempts a lot. But I just feel like it totally fumbles the ball when it comes to talking about what, I don't know, like the mysteries of the universe. It feels so human and reduced and small. None of Nolan's films do it for me emotionally. And I always feel like they're like grabbing me around lapels being like, this is emotional. Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't activate my heart at all. So I would say Interstellar.
For sure. And I will come out as a Nolan. I'm a big fan of some of Nolan's work. But now that his body of work has grown, I'm well aware that it's not all good. And I'm with you on Interstellar. I just didn't work for me. And I love some of the other stuff with a passion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like Memento, Insomnia, beautiful movies. But also like more on the scale, more in line with the human scale. You know, the story that's being told. So.
For sure. At this point, he's gotten very Kubrickian where he's just, yeah. I'm not going to make a film because I want to. I'm going to make, just prove I can.
Literally. Yeah. He said like, when he was doing press for Interstellar, he was like, he's talking about like how to put a film in the canon. I feel like you're just shooting yourself in the foot at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't 2001. So
it was not.
Well, Wyatt, you want to take your overrated film?
Yes. And I will preface this by saying I am a huge Tarantino fan. But there was one movie that wasn't for me, and it was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm. I can see it was a blast, and there's so many amazing parts about that movie. Just wasn't for me.
I'm with you again. I am also a very, very big fan of a lot of his work.
Mm-hmm.
And that one for me, and I can like Leonardo DiCaprio. I like him. But in that film, when Brad Pitt's not on screen, I just don't care.
Yeah.
But whenever Brad's on screen, I'm totally into it.
If someone
wants to jump into Premiere or Final Cut Pro and just like give me just a Brad Pitt edit of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I would just love that film about that stunt man who fixes TV antennas to make his rent. Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Fun. Okay, well, last question is a lesser known film that people should seek out. And Willow's, you've both already named films I hadn't seen, so feel free. Who wants to go first on this last one? I forget who's, I can't remember whose turn it is.
Willow's turn, I believe. Oh no, it's my turn.
I think it's your turn to start, yeah.
Uh-oh. Do you have one ready, Willow?
I have one. I've got one.
Okay, go for it.
I think News from Home is a beautiful movie by Chantal Ackerman. It's a documentary. It's a very, I don't know what about it. It's like a mix between documentary and art film. And it's Chantal Ackerman living in New York and writing letters back home to her family, juxtaposed with these really stunningly framed images of New York in the 1970s, where everyone seems like they've been styled for the movie, but I believe that everyone was just, you know, better styled back then, maybe. gorgeous colors, really compelling time capsule as well of that New York. And it's just, it's captivating. It's a beautiful example of how quiet, meditative observation can be the most compelling thing in the world.
Excellent. Yeah. And you're probably right about style, although it's hard to say now because we've spent the last 2.5 years with a plague that apparently made pajamas acceptable 24/7 and in public. So
yeah, just the quality, like the weight of the clothes is even like the way they form on the body. It's just higher quality.
You're making me want to mention your wonderful and lovely review of the Sherman Oaks Film Festival on Film Freeway, where you mentioned that in Sherman Oaks, people wear a lot of beige.
The beige. That's what I observe.
Fair enough. It's a suburb. All right, Wyatt, did we buy you enough time?
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I think I have to say, I have to say Being There. And I know among certain groups, this is not, you know, it's a more well-known film, but I think among other groups, it's not quite as well-known. But I really love Being There. It's with Peter Sellers, and it's a comedy about a guy who, I just love the concept. He's a gardener, and he just talks about gardening, but everyone, and he doesn't say much, and everyone takes what he's saying to be like really profound metaphors. And that just gets carried away to the point where he becomes the advisor for the president of the United States.
Wow.
And Peter Sellers is just brilliant. I think there's like, his performance is so minimalist because he's not saying much at all. Yet we know he can do a lot without saying much. Anyway, Being There is one of my all-time favorites.
Perhaps. There is an incredible film. Incredible film. And wonderful. As you expressed, you grew up on Peter Sellers. We learned in the last podcast.
Yeah.
And just a remarkable, it's wonderful. And that one I think was pretty close to his death. I think he wasn't with us much longer after that. And how amazing that he did this amazing, for someone who was one of the most absurdly hilarious people of all time, to have such a subtle, mature film be his crowning achievement. It was special.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's a Hal Ashby film.
Yes.
Who might be underrated in spite of the number of people who might name Harold Lamont and this and that and the other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I'll add, I saw the film when I was in high school and then got assigned the novella in college.
Oh, nice.
And, nothing is better than that last shot of Being There that they completely came up with on their own that wasn't in the book.
Yes.
It was so close to the book other than that last thing.
Yes. Yeah. What an amazing last shot.
Oh my God.
So cool.
Just remarkable. Remarkable. I know. Isn't it a horrible to think that there might be a generation of people who don't know who Peter Sellers is?
Yeah. I think maybe that's what I'm unconsciously fighting right through this podcast, is to try and by the coattails bring that stuff back
I know. I've made a point of showing my stepdaughter some Tarantino and this and that and the other, but I haven't hit her with Inspector Clouseau. I should probably do that.
Yeah.
And then work our way up to Strangelove. But anyway.
Yes.
All right. We did mention Killer. I mentioned Killer Whales at the top. Willow, you want to share how people can learn now that they've heard what good taste you both have? They certainly want to see the film that the two of you put 4 years of your lives into making.
Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram. That's the main place where we're at. The tag, the handle is @KillerWhalesMovie. So that's where we're sharing all the updates. If you have TikTok, you can also find us, same handle, @KillerWhalesMovie. And yeah, there's the two places, keeping it simple.
Fantastic. All right. And people should watch it. They should go to the Instagram and the TikTok and be entertained and then get drawn into watching the film. You should pay to see the film and you should review it. I don't think I said that at the top of this podcast. I said at the end of the last one, so I'm going to say it again. Give the film wonderful reviews. It deserves it. Believe me. Not the worst thing. There's so many terrible things about the internet. But the fact that 10,000 people might watch your film over a certain period of time and the 9,000 who really enjoy it will just go on to the next thing. And the 5 jerks who the film wasn't made for at all will run onto IMDb or run on somewhere else and write a mean review. And the human psyche, the fact that we're more eager to bitch than praise makes me sad.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
All right. So please people, review Killer Whales and find it at Killer Whales Movie everywhere you go. All right. So as long as I'm talking about reviews, now I'll grade grub for myself and say, you're listening to this podcast, the Discover Indie Film Podcast, like, and subscribe, write a nice review. Say, hey, I'll tell you what to say. Say, great podcast. There, two word review. It's all you need. But anyway, so if you want to learn more about this podcast or the TV series that was born out of it, go to discoverindiefilm.com. On social media, it's @DIFWINS. I can't even remember anymore, but I probably mentioned the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and Filmvasion Los Angeles when I talked about the awards that Killer Whales won at both those festivals. So if you want to learn about these wonderful little festivals in a cute neighborhood in the heart of LA, go to ShermanOaksFF.com and @ShermanOaksFF for the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. And for Film Invasion Los Angeles, just go to FilmInvasionLA.com or it's @FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I think we're good. For shits and giggles, I'll mention one last thing. I have seen Killer Whales, I think, the whole way through 3 times. Loved it all 3. I was never high.
Wow.
So that means I should probably watch it a fourth time. So I'm about to mention a fun little side project I started last year called THC Cinema, where we get together at the same theater that we watched your film at, and we just watch a series of shorts that are wonderful to watch when you're high. So that's THCCinema.com and @THCCinema. And I have to say, I think I would really enjoy Killer Whales. I'm not a big stoner, but you know, it's legal. It's legal now for me to.
It's
you know, so I have a low tolerance. So every once in a while, I take a gummy, and I really. And then it turns out whatever's on TV that night was meant to see high, because it turns out everything is better.
Well, another good high activity for you is the album. The music is going to come out as well tomorrow. And shout out to Freddie Avis, who is definitely the fourth big creator on this movie.
Like
gave so much character and legitimacy to this movie with his awesome scoring.
Well, that's so cool. Will that be it'll be downloadable, but is it going to be something like I could listen to on Apple Music?
It's on Apple, it'll be on Spotify. Yeah, and YouTube too, I think. That link will also be posted on the Instagram link tree, so you can check it out there. But we've had some fun cooking up some ridiculousness there as well.
That sounds excellent. All right, well, movie and soundtrack are out now, because this podcast will come out a little later than the first one. And Wyatt Bunce, Willow Hamilton, both, thank you both for carving out this much of your time.
For sure, for sure. Thanks, Jeff.
My pleasure.
It was really good.
It's a pleasure. Take your time, recover. By the way, Wyatt, I did see your artwork on Instagram.
Oh, nice. Good.
And liked it very much. I'm an art fan.
Thank
you.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
So people should go. I don't know if you mentioned it this time, but is it just at Wyatt Bunce or at?
It's at Wyatt Guzzy Bunce. My middle name is Guzzy, G-U-Z-Y. So W-Y-A-T-T-G-U-Z-Y-B-U-N-C-E.
All right, people should check out the art.
Yeah.
These two wonderful creatives they're going to take a pause after Killer Whales and then come back in a year or two with another super film. Just, I'm trying to guilt trip you into it.
Yes.
If we don't make another film, Jeff's going to be sad.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both again. And I'm going to thank everyone for listening. Thank you.